Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power, where you will have the opportunity to listen and learn perhaps something that maybe you didn't know anything about. And today we're going to be focusing on wellness and health. Kat Elton is my guest today. Her book is called A Resilient Life. She says, learning to thrive, not just survive, with rheumatoid arthritis. Kat, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Kat, when I got your book, I said, holy Moses, this woman really wants us to get into weightlifting.
That's what a lot of people, when I tell people I wrote a book, they're like, oh, that's nice. And then I show it to them. They're like, whoa, how long did that take you? It's more than 300 pages.
Well, the thing about the book, though, is that you incorporate a lot of information into it. And I was really impressed with this because I actually went through the book. And not only do you have worksheets, but it's the information that you have compiled that I think for anyone that is experiencing arthritis, and I think everybody knows someone that has arthritis, the interesting thing about you is you're a young woman.
Yeah.
Rheumatoid arthritis. Well, you are. And so many times we think of arthritis as being an old person's disease.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that myth, because you were, what, 2 years old when they diagnosed
you? I was 2.5 years old when I was diagnosed.
Wow.
And, it's not very common, but it does happen. And in children, you can get arthritis at any age. And most people don't realize that.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think it's about 300,000 children in the United States.
300,000 children?
Yeah, there are a lot of children who do have juvenile arthritis, and there's just like arthritis, which is a very general term, there are a lot of different subtypes of juvenile arthritis as well.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Let's get down, what is arthritis and what is rheumatoid arthritis? Are there differences when you use the one term versus the other term?
Yeah, there are. Arthritis is the umbrella term. Arthritis means joint inflammation. So itis is inflammation and arth is joint. And there are over 100 kinds of arthritis. There's many, many forms of arthritis.
Wow.
The most common form is osteo, the degenerative type of arthritis that a lot of people get as you get older, just from the wear and tear. And rheumatoid arthritis is a subtype of arthritis that affects mostly women. It's 3-to-1, women to men.
Hmm.
And it's a more systemic form, so that means it affects your entire body. And it affects a lot of different joints instead of just one or two, the way osteoarthritis usually does. And as a result, it has a little bit more widespread effect as far as how you feel. There's a lot of pain. And all that pain and inflammation makes you really tired.
Mm-hmm.
So the fatigue and pain are some really big symptoms. And then, of course, your joints feel like lead, and they feel very full and hot to the touch, and they can get red because they're swollen, because there's inflammation in there. And it jumps around. It's constantly, for me, it's constantly keeping me guessing, because any day could give me anything as far as a great day with very little pain, or a day with lots of joints that decide they want to have a party in there.
Wow.
So it's very there's a lot of uncertainty because you just don't know, you know, what the future will bring, basically.
Now, you were 2.5 when this mm-hmm. started. What did your parents go through? I mean, this is not something that they really know a heck of a lot about.
No,
am I wrong when I make that statement?
No, not at all. And actually, I'll disclose, I'm 41 years old now.
Congratulations.
So, although I feel much younger. And so literally, I got arthritis 39 years ago. And back then, they didn't even know certain parts of the immune system. Some of the cells in the immune system they know about now, they didn't even know existed back then. Mm-hmm. So there was very little knowledge about, A, what caused it, and B, how to treat it back then. So it was very daunting. And when I basically what happened was, when I was really young, I was very quick to stand and jump and play and do all the things that kids did. And then one day I just started limping and crying, and my mom was concerned, obviously, took me to the doctor, and they took a whole bunch of tests and finally ended up with the rheumatoid arthritis. And back then what they told her was, this is a very serious disease, but you're not in the cancer ward right now. So basically, it's not a life-threatening disease, but it is a chronic disease that I'll have my whole life. So
fascinating.
Yeah. And now, they didn't know, back to my parents, they really didn't know what to do. They just listened to the doctor and tried to make the best of it, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's often, believe it or not, what's done today in many instances.
Yeah.
Doctors honestly don't know, and that's why I really appreciated your publication, because it's a very proactive approach. Now, I want my listeners to know that you have a bachelor's degree in anthropology from Pomona College, and a master's degree in occupational therapy from New York University. That's a very interesting combination.
Now, I know, huh?
Yeah, you really wanted to be involved with animals, but being, afflicted with rheumatoid arthritis, you worked with a lot of occupational therapists, but you really liked them. You liked what they did, and so you said, okay, this is what I'd like to do. Now, today, you're working with veterans at the Salt Lake City Veterans Hospital. Mm-hmm. You're the co-owner of Healthy Steps, the wellness consulting company, and you really want to help people obtain optimal health. You do speaking, and here you have accomplished quite a bit. And what I like about your material that you presented here is, one, you have a curiosity about your disease and you're not playing a victim. Mm-hmm. You are instead taking the positioning of trying to be informative, and in many instances you've used yourself as a guinea pig to try to find out what can be done. Am I right?
It's true.
Okay.
I continue to do that today, because really, honestly, I've thought a lot about this, because thank you very much for that comprehensive and concise career history of mine. But yeah, right now I'm working with veterans at the Salt Lake City VA, and part of the day I'm at in the rheumatology clinic, so I'm working with people with arthritis, so it's constantly on my mind. And really, they still don't know what causes arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis specifically. Mm-hmm. And so basically what the doctors have to offer people is medication for symptom relief. That's what they do. And so someone who's in my shoes, who has a disease that isn't going to go away and hurts all the time, and the drugs that they offer me do help with symptoms, but they also cause side effects, so there are other things that come mm-hmm. my way as a result of taking medication. So if you think about it, again, I'm young, and I've taken medication most of my life. So my option is either just take medication and hope for the best, or learn as much as I can, do everything I possibly can think of to help myself, because I don't want to be in a wheelchair and I don't want to be limping and having a hard time moving the rest of my life. And there are other options out there, and there are mm-hmm. ways to handle the things that arthritis throws at you. So again, I've spent a lot of my life feeling like I've been treading water and not really going anywhere. But just the very act of treading the water gets you somewhere eventually. And if the more information you have about what challenges are thrown your way, the more options you have, and there are always options to help anyone to feel better. So it's something that's been and continues to be a learning process for me. But what I really wanted to do with this book is to kind of pave the way for other people, because not only rheumatoid arthritis, but any chronic illness, mm-hmm. it's a kind of a lonely experience, because people who don't have chronic illness don't really understand what you go through every day. And the health professionals, the doctors that you see, spend a very limited amount of time with you, and they have their own particular expertise, but they're not dealing with necessarily all of the issues that you face, maybe the sleep or the fatigue or the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I decided to do was think about all the things that are hard, that have been hard for me: sleep issues, stress, which is huge, communication, and exercise and diet and nutrition and alternative medicine, all these things that are potentially helpful for people who have arthritis, but there's so much information out there. I decided I would break it up and create a book for people to help them to wade through all that information and figure out for themselves what works.
I really like that approach because each of us metabolically are very unique. There may
yes.
be common denominators, but
yes.
our bodies will, and we, you know, we all have different blood types, so we're very individualistic, and I think that that is a huge, huge challenge, because if you look at the human body, it is a chemistry laboratory.
It is.
Whenever you have something that's not working in harmony, that means that something's gone wrong with the chemistry, whether it's in your brain or your big toe or anything and everything
right.
in between. And I really appreciated in your book, A Resilient Life, the information about drugs that you have here,
yeah,
because you've
yeah.
really done your homework. And there's methotrexate. Now, I've never heard of it, but
uh-huh.
obviously you have. And you make a point that it depletes folic acid. It's it goes after a particular component and literally strips it out of the body.
Right.
So then you have side effects from that.
Right.
You have... if you're given a statin, it will eliminate your CoQ10, it will
mm-hmm.
eliminate the vitamin B. You know, there are all of these things that are going on, and most physicians don't have a clue about it.
Yeah, it was a very eye-opening for me to learn about this. And then I kind of chuckle sometimes when I read reports written by doctors that say that people who have rheumatoid arthritis have one of the things that they all share in common is the fact that they have nutritional deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, okay, well, any medication that you take, just like you said, will strip certain vitamins and minerals out of your body. And methotrexate actually was developed to be a folic acid inhibitor. So that was why it was developed, and it just so happens that it helps with rheumatoid arthritis. But steroid drugs are another one that are used a lot for people with arthritis, and they strip a lot of different nutrients. So,
mm-hmm.
again, that's where diet can come in and help people. Because if you think about it, having chronic inflammation is something that creates a lot of free radicals in your body,
mm-hmm.
Just the whole very process of having inflammation. And so antioxidants are really important to help with free radical damage. So if you're someone who has chronic inflammation or chronic pain or any kind of chronic disease, your body's working so much harder. And just like you said, we're all walking miracles. We don't realize it until something goes wrong. And we're like, ooh,
right.
how did I do this for so many years
mm-hmm.
without thinking about it? And then something goes wrong and you realize, wow. So it's a matter of supporting your body and your body's ability to heal, because we're constantly healing our bodies. We're constantly working really hard without even having to put a thought to it to be able to exist and in harmony and to create a healthy body. So even if you have a disease, it's something that you can be healthy even if you have a disease, because if you're wise and you're in tune with what your body's telling you and what your needs are, you can support your body system so that you can be healthy. And that's really what I do in my life and what I help to other people to learn how to do. And part of it is just knowing, for me, I think what's helped me to do just as well as I have all these years is to never really believe what other people tell me about what my fate may be,
mm-hmm.
and just know that I'm going to decide for myself. I'm not a statistic. And maybe it's true that 39% of people with arthritis have moderate depression. And maybe it's true that most people end up with, you know, disabled. And I was disabled for a little while, but I'm not anymore. Because, again, that didn't have to be something that happened and never got better. But I had to.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, but that's something that I had to have the attitude in my mind, regardless of what other people were telling me, that this can pass, this too shall pass. The only constant in life is change, and that's really true. And you can always change for the better as much as you can change for the worse. So,
not only have you given some good information regarding nutritional supplementation and medicines and side effects, etc., which I recommend anybody to read, but you also have done a lot with diet.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I think, just so important, because one of the things that you have recorded in your book are some research that's been done where they have people that have had rheumatoid arthritis, and they monitor everything that they're eating, and then they will eliminate certain things. And
mm-hmm.
one of the things that you bring up, one of many things, is that the elimination of gluten products often really makes a difference with people, and all of this comes into play, and you really have to test things out. What did you find for yourself when it came to dietary change? And none of it's perfect, but what did you find for yourself?
For myself, I'm going to say unfortunately, because if I were gluten intolerant and that was the cause of my arthritis, I'd be cheering up, you know, I'd be going yahoo, because I'd know what to do. But for myself, there hasn't been one particular food that I've come up with as an allergy or a product. But that being said, diet is very important for me. And the biggest things are there's something called a anti-inflammatory diet, and there are
mm-hmm.
some books written about it, and I write a little bit in my book about that as well. So the foods can create inflammation in your body, and they can also decrease inflammation. There are certain power foods that are just really good anti-inflammatories. For example, some of those Indian spices like turmeric that go into curry powder or
mm-hmm.
ginger. And so what I do is I'm very aware of what I'm eating and making sure that I eat foods that are going to discourage inflammation, because I have a body that likes to create it. So why put fuel on the fire, so to speak? So for me, big things are just literally decreasing processed food, not eating hydrogenated fats and saturated fats, but eating the really good fats like flaxseed oil and the fish oils as well that are high in omega-3s. So there are certain things in pumpkin seeds and those types of things, but also incorporating like green vegetables, which have so many different vitamins and minerals that are so good for you, and berries and cherry juice. So all these things can really make a difference for people. And they've had studies that have shown that certain addition of certain spices and herbs can be just as effective as some of the over-the-counter anti-inflammatories. So it all adds up. It's a cumulative thing. It's not just the thing that I find in America, we've been kind of trained to believe in this magic bullet that you take a pill
mm-hmm.
for something. If you're in discomfort, if you're having pain, you go to the doctor and you take something to take the pain away. Well, the pain's a message for you, and it's telling you something. And with a disease like our rheumatoid arthritis, there's no magic bullet. But in a way, that's good, because what it does is it helps you to learn how to be in tune with your body. And to really, I feel like I'm healthier than most people my age,
mm-hmm.
only because I work hard at it every day, because the consequences are so much larger for me if I don't. So I'm not going to drop dead at a heart attack at 50, because I manage my stress really well, because I have to.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't, the arthritis is going to tell me that I'm not doing very well. So in a way, it's kind of a blessing in disguise, even though it's a painful disease. But again, you have to shift your mindset away from thinking that, you know, okay, I'm in pain, I'm going to take a pill and I'll make it go away. You have to realize there are other things that are really important to do. Exercise is another really good thing that I do every day. I move my body every day.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I can walk around the block or take a swim or hike for 2 hours, it doesn't matter what that is. But as long as I'm moving every day, I'm doing some good for my body.
That's very important, and I'm glad you brought it up. I love the quote you have by Dr. Seuss in here. You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes, you can steer yourself any direction you choose. And I really like that. I think that is so true. It really is important.
Yeah.
And that is one of many points. Now, I do see this chapter, and you've got this chapter on stress in your book. Now, you have workbook material all the way through it. And you just really have a very interesting first sheet that's, you say, list any traumas you've endured at a young age, whatever it might be, all significant stressors you've endured as an adult, any stress-related physical symptoms you've had in time period, and then mental symptoms you've had. So you really are wanting people to be able to recognize certain things. And this isn't something that's good or bad, it's just be aware, because your situation, the mind-body-spirit connection is very, very valid. And you mentioned how you've learned how to control stress, and stress is one of the biggest challenges in our world today for most people.
I think it's the nemesis of our time. I agree.
It's almost like if you're not stressed, you're not with it. And then if you're not stressed, my God, you're never going to accomplish anything.
So I think that's ironic. But
it's something I know it's easy to fall victim to if you allow yourself to. It's very, very easy. And it doesn't take much, maybe a phone call, and all of a sudden the mind is going 50,000 miles an hour. You use meditation as a way of working with stress, but this also, it can be a very good way to deal with pain.
Yes.
And this is something in pain therapy. Have you ever done anything like pain therapy or worked with that? What would you say to someone who's listening today that maybe is living with pain constantly? I mean, I can think of a few people that I know of that they're in so much pain, and a lot of it, the base of it, is emotional, and they know this, but they are physically hurting. And nobody wants to listen to them. No one wants to hear it. What would you say to that person that might be hearing the show today?
Yeah, well, I have to say the chapter that I had that I wrote on pain was my favorite chapter, because nobody really gives you ideas. And no, I haven't. Personally, I've never been in a pain program or never been in a patient in a pain therapy program, but I've done a lot of studying as a professional. And I do a lot of work with people who have chronic pain. There are a lot of veterans, again, just like you said, who suffer from emotional and physical pain because of their time in the service, and they struggle with it every day. And so what I would tell someone is that pain is a physical sensation that is a manifestation of suffering that begins in the mind. So you may not be, I can't necessarily take away my pain. I'm probably going to be in pain for the rest of my life, and I've been in pain for most of my life. But I realized finally, not too long ago, that I don't necessarily have to suffer with it. And that's hard, and it's something that it takes work every day. But what I do is, and I offer this to other people, is think about the fact that every day we get up and we brush our teeth to take care of our teeth, and we eat a couple times a day because we get hungry. If you have a body that is in pain, it's really important that you take care of your pain every day, that you do some things to help bring the pain level down. And for me, it's my daily hour-long rest where I lay down, I listen to really relaxing music, and I hopefully sleep, and if I don't, I just, like you said, I meditate and I can breathe. So if you can work through the suffering component, and what I've learned to do is to not necessarily get anxious and fearful and afraid and angry. I might let those emotions might come up, but I don't hang on to them. I let them go because I say, is this really helping me? It's not. It's not helping me to be afraid. And is it true? That's the other thing. Asking yourself, is this feeling really true? And it may not be. And if it is something that is an emotional pain, like a grieving, a loss of some sort, then you can feel it, but try to just remember that you don't want to, you don't want to suffer, you don't want to have to suffer any more than is necessary. So learn to be your own best friend. Sometimes it's good to ask, pretend you're your own best friend and ask yourself, what would my best friend tell me to do right now?
Mm-hmm.
And what would they say? Would they say, give yourself a break because you're in a lot of pain and you really don't have to clean the house today, this hour? Probably. So why don't I become my own best friend and be able to tell this to myself so that I can, and really it works. It really works. It may not take the pain away completely, but you'll notice that the pain starts to go down and it's not quite as severe and you don't suffer so much with it. So it's something that takes perseverance and it doesn't happen overnight, but over time you'll notice a difference.
There is a section on your book where you titled it Venturing into Alternative Medicine. And I know we're just about out of time, but there was a sentence that particularly caught my eye. So you said, unfortunately, the conventional medical model is not set up to treat chronic diseases adequately. Doctors are trained to look for pathologies in bodies, which basically means that a predetermined number, for example, a sedimentation rate of under 22 for females, has been decided on. And you go on further with the information. I think that your book is so informative. And for those of you listening, Kat Elton has been my guest. A Resilient Life is her book. And it actually, it's not just about rheumatoid arthritis, believe it or not, which is what she's lived with since she was 2 and a half. But what you've got here is a perspective of thinking. And if you know of someone that is suffering pain and just nobody's really paying attention, if you want to become more empathetic or even sympathetic, but preferably empathetic, where you have an understanding for a loved one who is experiencing something like this, this book could really open up so many doors for you and windows, if you will. Kat, what is your website that people can go to find out more information about what you do and this publication?
Pretty easy. It's www.katelton with a K, KATELTON.com. So it's katelton.com.
Well, Kat, I'll tell you what. You have done a phenomenal job. And even though I teased you about this being used for weightlifting, the truth is that you have workbook materials in here. I just think it's so supportive for people. And
yeah,
I would encourage you to share it with as many as you possibly can.
Thank you so much. And that's really, really what I want to do is I want to help people to help themselves.
Well, I think you've done something here that can achieve that. And it's been a pleasure having you as a guest. A Resilient Life. Kat Elton is an occupational therapist. She has rheumatoid arthritis. She shares her understanding with you and giving you a lot of information that maybe you did not have an idea even existed. So go to her website, katelton.com, KATELTON.com, and find out more information. Again, Kat, thank you for being with me. This is Donna Sebo, broadcasting live from Fairbanks, Alaska, and we'll be back to share more good things with you. So don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna, and oh, snow falling. Well, it's not doing that right now, and it is just this wonderful powdery white covering on the trees and on the ground here in Fairbanks. And if the temperature goes up a few degrees, it may sort of disappear, but it's so pretty right now. It's just that time of year, and it's going to be getting colder, but that's what happens when you're up in the far north. And I'm so delighted that you've been able to join me today. Tomorrow, I want to let you know we're going to be talking about healing, and David Elliott, his first book was called A Reluctant Healer. He has been a healer for many, many years, and his book was incredible. And this book called Healing goes into a lot of information that I think you would find very, very beneficial if you are interested in healing, if you are a healer. I think many of the things that David will be sharing with us, you will find very useful. And then on Friday, our broadcast will be coming from Anchorage, Alaska. We're going to be talking about The Idiot's Guide to Identity Theft. Now, when I first saw that title, I thought, oh, gee whiz, an idiot's guide. I don't like people being called idiots, and I don't like being called an idiot. But the truth is that Mary Frank has put together so much good information that if you know of anyone that's going through this, this is a must listen to. So just join us, and if you want to know about future guests and people that are coming on the Donna Sebo Show, go in to bbsradio.com, station number one, look me up. I'm on Monday through Friday, as you know. Look up for show information, and you'll get a listing of all of the upcoming guests so that you will be able to be aware. There's just a little write-up about each and every one of them, and I think you will find it interesting and will, well, if you miss a show, you'll know that you can listen to it again because we archive it. So if you want to call in and chat with me today, telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And if you're a first-time listener, no problem. All you need to do is give me your first name or initial and let me go to it. Of course, I always like to know where you're calling in from, too, and that's all it takes. I'll give you information, and then if you have a question, you'll be able to ask it. So give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. Oh, by the way, I was talking with someone yesterday that had a story about the paranormal experience they'd gone through. I said, send it to me via email, and I'll say that to you. January 1st, 2011 is the deadline. January 1st, 2011. And what I want you to do is send it to me via email. Send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Do that and I'll have it. And be sure to put your contact information in as well. I want to say thank you to those of you who've been sending me some fascinating stories, and I was just intrigued with this one article that was sent by Lon, and he is in Kansas, and he said, Donna, do you know how much it costs to make a penny? I didn't even think about it.
That little piece of copper in my wallet is just a penny. Do you know how much it costs to make a penny? Well, I thought I would share this with you. As of May 2010, it costs $1.67 to mint a penny. No, I read that wrong. It's not $1.67. That doesn't make sense, does it? Pun intended here. It's 1.67 cents or 0.0167 U.S. dollars to mint a penny, making the face value of a penny 1 cent less than its actual manufacturing value. Now, why is this the case? Well, it's largely dictated by the materials that are used to make it. Pennies contain 97.5% zinc with 2.5% copper. That's what gives them that coppery color. Now, metals have gone up dramatically in price. Why? Well, the market demand for them has expanded tremendously, and mining is being regulated, which is not a bad thing, because mining has contributed seriously to serious pollution of water sources throughout the world. And I know we've got a caller. Bear with me for just a moment. I'll get right to you. So the cost of metal extraction, obviously, is going to be higher. And I'll give you some more information about our little penny. But let's take our caller first. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
My name is Norma, and I'm
where are you calling in from? In Seattle. Well, Norma,
yes.
Welcome to the show. Is it raining
Thank
in
you.
Seattle, or is it clear?
Nope, it's actually not raining today, so it's a nice blue sky today.
Okay, it's living up to Perry Como's song, Blue Skies of Seattle.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good thing. All right, Norma, let's get down to business with you. The first thing I'm looking at is that you have a special project regarding communication via writing that is happening. And a part of you just seems to go into a, I don't have a thought brain zone. And what I want to encourage you to be aware of is that part of that is a habit patterning that is a carryover from what you experienced when you used to be in school. And I want you to know that your writing is going to be very, very much appreciated. And more than that, you're going to be able to have an impact on people. So I think there's something here with communication, writing, getting the job done, and following through and finishing work that needs to be completed. And you're going to be going on with some advanced level of training and education. It's going to be in a very specifically oriented direction. And I think it's something that you're going to be doing on a fairly frequent basis. It's almost as if you have to go back into school to keep up a certification or a license of one kind or another. And this is fine. You're perfectly capable of doing that. Now, you love to travel. You absolutely love exotic places. And I'll tell you what. Instead of being concerned about having a house or having a fancy car, I would encourage you to do what I've known some people to do. They're few and far between. And that is to set aside a part of your budget so that you could go, whether it's to the Amazon or to Paris, you would be able to make a trip, get to know a good travel company, one or two maybe, that really have good prices, and say, this is what I'm going to do, and start planning on doing a trip at least once a year. And it needs to be to a place that is just so far off the beaten path that you are going to come back revitalized. You need this. You enjoy different people, different cultures, different environments, and I'd say become really skilled with a camera, whether it's a video camera or, you know, a 35 millimeter. It doesn't make any difference. Enjoy doing the camera work because you are going to really capture some phenomenal demonstrations of life in different parts of the world, and it's really going to make for a tremendous library that eventually you'll find you'll incorporate into some kind of publication. So I think traveling is something that you are going to find very, very satisfying. And I encourage you to move forward with it, because I think eventually there will be a career environment relating to the traveling that you're going to enjoy significantly. It's going to take you about 3 years to get to that point, but who cares? You're going to have a great time in the interim, so go for it.
Okay, sounds good.
What would you like to ask me today, Norma?
I wanted to ask you about a relationship, because I've never been married, and I'm kind of wanting to be married.
Okay. Wanting to be married, that's wonderful. That's, you know, having a partner. What are you concerned about? I mean, I'm looking at the fact, to me, the only reason that you have not gotten married is that you've not met the man that you really can look at and say, yes, I'd be willing to spend 30 years of my life with you or 40 years of my life with you. I could see it. Most of them that you've dated, if you had to spend 2 weeks with them in a cave in the Himalayas, they'd be dead probably by the end of 2 weeks.
I tend to get bored with people, you know, right away. And I just don't know if I'm ever going to get married. And I'm kind of in a relationship right now, but it's long distance.
Well, that doesn't work very well, and you know it, but it's been convenient for right now. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. What I think you need to do is recognize the kind of qualities that you want in a person. Are you going to be getting married? Yes. But I wouldn't worry about it too much. Let me share something with you, and it was a very, very good friend that I had many years ago. And she was a mature lady. She was in her 40s. She'd never been married, and she dated the nicest guys. There were those of us that were single that just looked at her and go, oh, my goodness, if I were her, I'd snatch this one up. I'd snatch that one up. Wow. But she wasn't interested in any of them. When we're talking about some very, very fine men that she dated. Well, as it turned out, she ended up going to a class reunion, and she had never been to a class reunion previously. She goes to this class reunion, and in walks a man that she hadn't seen for over 20 years. And she recognized him immediately, and all of a sudden, she knew why she had never married. This was the man she was in love with. She had met him when she was a teenager. In fact, he had driven her and some girlfriends to a college in California. That he was her escort, along with another young man, to make sure that the girls got to the state of California for schooling safe and sound. And she had fallen in love with him. He was older than her, and he had become engaged to someone else. So the person she fell in love with was not available. 20 years later, she finds out, after going to this reunion, they get together, and she said, I just knew that this was the man I was going to be marrying. He had been married. His wife had been quite ill, had died. They were married within a year after that reunion. And they were married for 12 years, and then he passed away. As I said, he was older than her. She didn't meet him until she was in her 40s.
Well, I'm in my 40s.
Well, absolutely. And then I know of another lady who got married when she was 80 and is just tickled pink with the guy that she got. So don't ever think that there's not hope out there. But the key is you need to be honest with yourself about the qualities that you want in a person. That is important, because it's those qualities of character that make a relationship strong, because a marriage is going to have challenges. I don't care who you are. There's no such thing as a Disney movie when it comes to a marriage. It doesn't work that way. So you just haven't met Mr. Wonderful yet. That's all.
Not yet. Okay. I'll still just be patient and wait.
Well, it's not a matter of just being patient and waiting. It's a matter of taking time to make a list of the qualities of character, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, that you really want in an individual. And be honest about it. Be honest about it. And then just know that in the right place, in the right time, that that person is going to be in your space.
Okay. That sounds good then.
All right, Norma. Thanks so much for calling in, and enjoy those blue skies in Seattle.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Norma. Have a wonderful day. This is Donna Sebo broadcasting from the snowy area called Fairbanks, Alaska. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Have you ever heard of the word gigonomics? G-I-G-O-N-O-M-I-C-S? I hadn't. Well, this is an actual word. It's the science of cobbling together a series of small, often freelance or temporary jobs to make ends meet in a bad economy. Gigonomics, what a word to introduce into a conversation. But there again, we'll go back to the pennies quickly. Do you know, they've been trying to do something about changing the composition of the penny, but a lot of people are very concerned that this is going to change the look and feel of the American penny, and there are a lot of people that are staunch supporters of maintaining the penny. They have thought of using metals of different types or plastics. Also, there is a challenge with our nickel because it has a physical value which is higher than its face value. Nickels cost about 7.7 cents to make, U.S. currency. Dimes and quarters cost a lot less to make, and the face value of a quarter may be 25 cents U.S., but it only costs 10 cents U.S. to make one. So the people feel that the cost of a penny or a nickel, because it's above its actual face value, is balanced out by the lower cost of producing other coins. But you know what? I don't think the debate over the little copper penny is going to go away any time soon. And I wanted to share with you a recipe for baked apples. When the weather gets cold, there's nothing that smells as delicious as baked apples, and they're very satisfying. They are just absolutely wonderful. And, of course, coming from the Pacific Northwest, where we just have so many varieties of absolutely delicious, delicious apples, this recipe, which was done by Rebecca Katz, is healthy, flavorful, and you can adapt it a little bit in any way that you want. But let me just give it to you quickly, because what you're going to be doing, these are baked apples filled with dates and pecans. And what Rebecca said is that if you eat this, if your tummy gives you a problem with digestion, the pectin in the apples are absolutely wonderful to have. You know, the baked apples, the pectin is released, so it's wonderful. Now, this is what you do. You preheat your oven to 350 degrees, and you are then going to need the following ingredients. You're going to need a quarter of a cup of toasted pecans, finely chopped. And to toast them, all you have to do is put them in a dry frying pan and put them over the heat. Or you can bake them in an oven, like a 400-degree oven, for just a few minutes. But they need to be toasted because that's going to give a particular taste and a crunchy texture. Then you want a quarter of a cup of medjool dates. And you want to have them pitted, and you want to finely dice them. And a good way to dice those dates is to spray your knife with a nonstick cooking spray, and that way they won't stick. because dates are terrible when you go to chop them. Or put them in a Cuisinart and just spray the blades with some nonstick cooking spray and just let them have at those dates. And in just seconds, they'll be all chopped up for you. You're going to need the zest and juice of one orange, Use the real thing. It makes a difference. A quarter of a teaspoon of ground cinnamon, a quarter of a teaspoon of sea salt, four baking apples, and you want the firm, fleshed baking apples, and that could be a Pink Lady, a Pippin, Macintosh, John Gold, whatever you like. And then you're going to need a tablespoon of butter, and you want some unfiltered apple juice for baking. Now, what you do, your oven's been heating up now. You combine your pecans, your dates, your orange zest, orange juice, cinnamon, and salt, and you want to stir them all together. You're going to core your apples, leaving half an inch at the bottom of the apple, and you want to peel the top edges. Now, the reason you want to do that is that you want to, it depending on how your apples are, you may want to cut a little bit at the bottom so that they will stand flat. Sometimes apples have a tendency to tip over, but you don't want to core all the way down to the base, which sometimes people do. So just make sure that you give yourself a little bit of space there. Then you want to, again, leave a half an inch at the bottom and peel the top edges. You want to stuff your apples with your pecan filling, and then you want to dot it with butter. You put your apples in your baking pan, and you pour about 1 inch of apple juice over the apples, and then you cover them tightly with foil. Now, you're going to want to bake the apples at 350 degrees for about 40 to 60 minutes. You want your apples tender, but you don't want them mushy, so you want to poke with a fork to test if it's done. So take off the foil, check it, and see if it's done. Then you want to serve your apples warm, and you want to drizzle them with the apple juice from the baking pan. Rebecca said what she does to scoop out the center on her apple, she uses a melon baller. She said to scoop out the apple core. She said it's very important that you keep the base intact, and if you don't have dates or pecans, you can use currants or raisins and walnuts or almonds. And if you're not supposed to have nuts, then just eliminate them. And also, something else that you might want to try when you bake your apples is using real maple syrup. I mean, there's just little things that you can do that just are absolutely deliciously flavorful. So I wanted to share that with you. And, of course, it's just going to smell absolutely heavenly. And sometimes people, when they have baked apples, they like to have a nice scoop of vanilla ice cream to go along with them. Just delicious. It's a wonderful way of having apple pie without those extra carbs of the crust. I know, but I just find that this is just so delicious and so wonderfully fragrant. It just makes everybody expect something very special for a dessert. But even as a snack, you just can't beat it. So I wanted to share that with you today. Well, I know that we're just about out of time. Tomorrow we'll be chatting again, and don't forget, we're going to be talking with David Elliott about healing. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You have a special story to share. Just like my guest, Kat Elton, today, put together a book because she wanted to empower people that have a certain illness to know that there are options to work with. You can empower someone today in your own way. You may or may not write a book sharing your wisdom with the world, but you can share your wisdom with the people that you love and those that perhaps you'll meet in an unexpected moment. You're very special, and I'm so glad you're able to join me today. I look forward to having you back tomorrow. This is Donna Sebo, broadcasting from Fairbanks, Alaska. We'll be back again tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on BBSRadio.com, Station 1. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.